Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle, and I have one question for all you HR leaders out there at small and medium companies. If I could show you how you could get rid of all those messy spreadsheets that you're using for reporting and show how you can connect all your HR systems to one dashboard so that you can view, track, share, and analyze all your people data in one place, would you be interested? I'm sure you would be. That's why we built Employee Cycle, the all-in-one people dashboard that has pre-built API connectors to all the most popular HR systems you're all using, like Bamboo HR, Namely, Zenefits, Trinet, ADP, 15.5, Office5, Lattice, Lever, you name it. You can pull all that data into one place so you can view, track, share, and analyze internally, externally. You can answer all those most important workforce questions with a click of a button. To learn more, please go to employeecycle.com, check us out, learn more, and request a demo. We'd love to chat with you. Or you can actually take it for a spin for yourself and try out a free trial. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have an awesome guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Mark Scow. He's the HR director at Purple. And today we're going to discuss how to manage employee safety during COVID. Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for letting me join.
The reason why we're giving that huge applause is because this is also Mark's first podcast. So we're so excited to have him on the show.
Awesome. Thanks, Bruce.
So Mark, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Yeah, how I ended up in the wonderful world of HR. So I think it starts back in college, actually. So I was kind of just going through the normal routine of trying to figure out what education I wanted. And I kind of just picked the path of general business management. And a couple of the elective classes I could pick from was organizational development and human resources. And one of those classes I fell in love with is organizational development. And we actually did a project for Habitat for Humanity here in Utah. And so it was kind of a cool consulting HR opportunity to consult with their team, their internal team at Habitat for Humanity, and kind of get a fit, look and feel of how HR really exists and what impact they do have on organizations. And ever since then, it's been kind of an opportunity for me to grow. I started with a PEO where I was consulting a couple different companies. And then I was part of a startup and just slowly worked my way up through bigger and bigger organizations. Went from a small startup to nationwide companies to now a locally owned company here in Utah, went public about 2 years ago, and now we're going nationwide where we're opening up a new facility in Georgia. So it's kind of cool to be a part of an organization that went from 600 to now 1,400 employees in 2 years. So it's pretty cool.
Awesome. And Purple is a pretty cool company. So can you let our audience know what your company does?
Yeah. So Purple makes a very cool mattress. We have a patent technology on it, a hyperelastic polymer that is the topper of a bed. And so there's a lot of up and coming bed companies. You've probably heard of Casper and Ector and other companies like that. But Purple is definitely unique, where we have our own patent machines that make our product and our own patent product that we actually assemble and make our own beds. And so it's kind of cool to see Purple technology. It's been around for a while, where it's been in seat cushions, but now it's in beds, it's in pillows, and we're just kind of disrupting the mattress industry, which is awesome right now. Everybody needs a little bit more comfort in their life with COVID around right now. So it's been great.
Awesome. Thanks for that feedback. So today we're discussing how to manage employee safety during COVID. And I know you have manufacturing facilities, and safety could mean something pretty different than a lot of other companies where people are just working in the office. So what are the areas of safety that are your main concerns? And then once you create that list, then we'll go through them individually.
Yeah, so I do want to go back just with how COVID first hit us all, right? Back in March, we kind of all became more aware of it and had to do the crazy shutdown of sending every employee to work from home, which included our production. At that point, we didn't know what COVID was going to do to the country and even to the world. And so at that point, we're like, let's send everybody home, let's be safe, and really evaluate how COVID's reacting to our local communities. And so it was kind of hard for us because we had to adjust. We had to solely sell our product on what we had on inventory, and we sold through it way too quick. And so we had to figure out how we wanted to make our production facility very safe, because like other companies, our corporate space went home, our call center went home, they're all working from home still to this day. But our production, to keep Purple alive, we had to make beds. We have to make our product. And so we had to adjust how we monitored and track people's health and wellness, and creating it a safer space. So that's kind of number one is COVID. And then obviously, I mean, just how do we also worry about individual mental health? As you're working from home, you're not having the social aspect that you used to have in the corporate space. And so how are we helping people with that and being aware of that? Along with actually coming in contact with people in the production facility. So those are kind of the two main things that we've been focused on here at Purple.
Got it. So let's start with physical health. What does that mean exactly as you're thinking about how you can help your employees stay healthy? And what kind of things have you put in place to help employees keep up with their physical health, especially as they're working?
Yeah, so at first, I mean, I think for all of us, we didn't really know what COVID really meant. There are some guidelines out there, right? And I think we're still learning what really implications come from COVID. But we were very adamant that we were going to follow CDC's guidelines and figure out what's best practices for us. Literally, we didn't want to shut down a manufacturing facility because of an outbreak like other companies have had to deal with. And so we probably took it to the extreme, but I feel like it was a smart decision for us. Basically, what we did is we evaluated all the touching points that employees would have with potential other employees. And so, for example, instead of letting everyone come through one door and exit through one door, we opened up all doors. And so small teams, instead of a big group coming through one door, clocking in and out, checking their temperature as they come in that one door, we've opened up 8 doors on one side of the building, and they now exit out the other side of the building through 8 doors. And so just allowing smaller groups so they can physically distance each other, I think is a huge thing we adjusted. In production, we have 200 people on site at a time. And before COVID, they would meet all together in one little area and have a daily stand-up. Now we've broken it up into individual teams where they're now less than 10 people per team in the daily stand-up. And then the managers, if they need to have follow-up stand-ups, they go meet as a management team. And so kind of just creating this safer space and helping them understand that even though we're still working, how do we keep them safe, keep them 6 feet apart from each other? Obviously, we implemented a mask mandate because that's definitely a recommendation at this point. Everybody gets their temperature checked as they walk in the door, when they go on lunch break, and every time they walk out the door, just so we can kind of see and track the current temperatures of employees and if there's any uptick at the end of the day that we need to be concerned about or addressed. We actually, in our space, we have purple squares, kind of fits the culture of Purple, right? We have purple squares on the floor, kind of where you can stand and where you need to be apart, and really added a ton of different breaks. Back in the day before COVID, everybody took lunch at the same time. Sadly enough, we can't fit 200 people safely anymore in our break rooms. And so we now have multiple breaks and multiple lunch breaks to allow that safe distance in the workplace. So those are just a few things we've done. I feel like we've been pretty confident in what we've done. We haven't had any major concerns internally here with COVID. And I think it kind of proven to the point of how serious we took it from the first days in March when we all heard about it. So
that's pretty fascinating. When it comes to morale and also employee communication, how was that affected as you were going from these massive daily stand-ups to these smaller teams? And as people who may have interacted with others a lot more next to them, maybe doing that a lot less just by nature of people being further away from them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and to add into that element, you have a mask on, which, let's just be real, it's hard to understand someone with a mask on. And so I think the biggest thing is we give them more opportunities to discuss things and talk things about things. Where daily standups were 15, 20 minutes, it's now 30 minutes, right? It needs to be a little bit more in-depth conversations. Obviously, it's smaller groups, so it stays the safe, but we also take in more initiative to recognize employees. I think that's one thing with bigger stand-ups is you hear how other departments are doing, other teams are doing, and now that you're kind of in your own small team, how do you get that recognition? How do you hear things are going on with other teams? And so having that public recognition where people hear about other team wins and being able to celebrate for them, even though you're not next to them during those announcements, you're being aware of them and hearing about them. And I think that's a huge thing. One great thing that our CEO did from day one is he actually held an all hands every Friday, talking to us internally as employees. And so it was just kind of cool to see him actually care that even though we're not on site for corporate, but we're also very segmented in the production to stay safe, how do we still make sure we all know what's going on with Purple? And so for the first 4 months in this COVID experience, he held a all hands every Friday. It's now gone to every other Friday, but it's allowed people to still be connected and still be involved and know the direction that Purple is going and hear about the successes we still are having right now during COVID. So it's been kind of good that way.
And what kind of training did you have to provide managers to make all this happen?
Yeah, so we actually implemented a few new tools. We implemented a texting software so employees can receive text messages in case of concerns or outbreaks or whatever, but also just to communicate the small stuff, what's going on. So there was definitely some training on that aspect. As managers, they weren't used to being the know-all, say-all type managers, right? In the daily stand-up, it was probably the department head that got up and kind of did most of the discussions. But now it's on the individual team manager that's having those daily conversations, those daily stand-ups and conversations. And so training them how to present, training them how to understand when to notice someone's being affected by this and being aware of it and who to bring it up to. And so having a true a training mental awareness type mentality has been huge. And we're just talking physical safety right now, right? As we dive into mental, we actually implemented another EAP program. We already had one that came with our medical vision and dental plan, but we wanted to go a little bit beyond that and actually implemented a company called Blue Novus that's locally here in Utah to create a better hands-on and more open opportunity for mental awareness. And so they have another hotline to contact for any assistance at this point. So
that was a great segue into going into mental safety and mental well-being for your employees, because this not only affects all of your employees that are working in person, but it also affects all of your employees that are working remotely and virtually as well. So from if we rewind and take it back to when COVID first started till now, what has been your process and strategy of helping employees cope with mental health, and how has that changed over time?
Yeah, so I think most corporate space was pretty excited to get back their commute time to be at home. So they didn't have to wake up and commute 30 minutes to an hour and a half to the office and then commute that on the way back, right? So they're at first, I think everybody was pretty excited to be sent home to work from home. And quarantine, I mean, initially we were thinking 3 weeks, maybe a month kind of a thing. Where you're going to work from home, and now we're past 6 months. And so at first, I think people kind of were excited, and then it just got a little exhausting, where the social aspect's now gone. The small talk that you'd have at the drinking fountain or in the break room is now gone. As you're riding the elevator up and down, those little small conversations are now gone because you're working alone in your home. And even in the production facility, you're now separated, right? You're not going to lunch with 100 people anymore. You're going to lunch with a team of 10. So just the small conversations is gone. And so I think that's been a big concern for us is the small personal conversations that people enjoy have been taken away from us. And so we've implemented a lot of different ways, very much emphasize we use Microsoft Teams right now, emphasize different channels, a general channel where people can just kind of socialize and have communication. We had social hours on Zoom meetings every Friday at 4 o'clock where we'd play Jeopardy to Wheel of Fortune to have karaoke over Zoom meetings. And so just trying to create these social aspects where people were kind of missing out on those individual relationships. And so it's been kind of interesting. Like I mentioned before, we realize that there are still some struggles with some people. For me, I have a wife and three kids, and so I have people at home. But there's definitely single employees, which they live in an apartment by themselves. And during the first few weeks, it was total lockdown, right? And so it was definitely got a little bit more emotional, a little bit more strenuous on them. And so we wanted to figure out how to include them and give them the social aspect that they are now missing, but also give an outlet. They may not want to talk to a coworker about the depressions they're going through. And so we added a new EAP. Like I said, it's called Blue Novus, and they've been fantastic where you can call them and we've allowed it to go even past just the employees, anybody in their family, even if their neighbor's having issues, they could reference them and we'll pay for them to call this EAP program and just talk to someone that we know that will not judge them and will help them and guide them through these rough times. Some of them were concerns because their spouse lost their job, and so now financial is a concern. And how do they support living at home with only one job? And so having this additional EAP support, I think, has been very beneficial for us. And our use cases has actually gone up, where our previous EAP, we were probably 5% usage, and now we're above 30% with this new system. And so it's just truly proven the fact that people need it now more than ever. And so giving them the right platform where they can reach out and talk and socialize still is a must for all companies.
Now that we're at the end of September, have you seen a massive shift in where most of your employees tend to be mentally? Or do you still feel that a lot of people are feeling the challenge of COVID in 2020 and from a mental health standpoint might be still where they were 6 months ago?
Yeah, I definitely think there is still a concern there. It's kind of shifted for us here at Purple. I think, like I said, at first, people were excited to work from home, have their commute time back, and then it shifted to, oh man, this is more than a month. How am I going to have my social aspect that I miss? And so we implemented ways there. And now it's, oh man, there's bigger projects. And these bigger projects, we could sit in a conference room and hash them out. And now we're on a Zoom chat, and let's be real, they're great Zoom chats, but sometimes you still miss on the body language because someone doesn't have their camera on, so you can't really participate as much as you could in a conference room. And so I think now for us at Purple is, as we address the personal concerns or social aspects, is how do we be more effective individually as a group on projects? Because Purple luckily has seen success in COVID, where we're not slowing down. We're still hiring a lot of people. We're still producing a lot of beds, and we're still growing. And so our new mental stress is how do we train new people? How do we get them in tune with the Purple brand and the Purple culture being remote, you know? And I think that's a big struggle, as I think almost every department's hired one or two people during COVID is they've never seen them in person. And that's hard to adjust to their needs and help them grow and really contribute to the Purple growth without seeing them in person. And I think that's something that we're learning is a new stress for us and we're adjusting currently to.
I want to end this interview with a question about you specifically. About 2 months ago, as a company, we launched a campaign called Thank You HR. And so we encourage everyone who's listening to this to go there. It's really a thank you and celebration video of all HR and people leaders and all of the amazing work you've done collectively to help employees across the country and across the world really navigate through the challenges and uncertainty of 2020. But the reason why I brought that up is because we created that because we realized that HR is taking care of the workforce, but who's taking care of HR? And we found that to be a really interesting thing to talk about. So from your own standpoint, as you're helping the workforce take care of themselves and have great well-being from a physical and mental standpoint, how are you making sure that you're in a good physical and mental place so that you're in a position to take care of the workforce? And I'm hoping that this will help other HR leaders as they're struggling with taking care of everyone else, but then trying to figure out how to take care of themselves as well.
Yeah, for sure. So I think, and being fully transparent, is working from home is been awesome, but at the same time, it feels like you never stop working. And so for first thing for me is I literally turn off my computer, walk away from my computer, and at least spend 3 hours a day by myself. And that seems very minuscule, right, compared to a 24-hour day. But from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, I am all with my family, with my kids. I'm making dinner. I'm having dinner. I'm going to soccer games. And truly focusing on that, truly disconnecting as much as I can during those 3 hours. Because when I am connected, I'm all in. And I'm supporting everything. And so I think for me, just truly dedicating some personal growth time, personal well-being time, is a must. If it's literally jumping on the tramp with my kids, for 30 minutes during those 3 hours, I mean, whatever it can be, riding a bicycle, going out on a walk, I mean, still keeping that social distancing, because before we could go to the movies, we could go out to eat, and because of COVID, we can't do that, but we're now switching into different activities virtually to do, because it does get exhausting and daunting helping others, but it's been great to see the ones we do help, see them turn around, right? See them in the hard spots they were in and helping them. I think that's also rewarding for me to see, hey, I made an impact on that person's life or that family's life. And so that's definitely changed me personally. It helps me grow. But I think honestly, just truly dedicating time, even if it's not 3 hours a day, making sure you have time for something that you enjoy. If it's reading a book, if it's just taking an additional nap or watching sports, watching movies as we get into the holiday season, you know, and just truly try to enjoy the time that we do have. Like I said, I don't commute now 45 minutes each way. I try spending that somewhere else. And that's kind of how I continue to sharpen the saw, I guess you could say, in my personal life. So,
Mark, thanks so much for that. Since you've been such an awesome, thoughtful, and transparent podcast guest, and it's clear that you're also a very thoughtful and authentic HR leader as well. So I'm sure your workforce appreciates all the work you're doing. So thanks so much for being on the show. Woo!
So far! Awesome. Thanks, Bruce.
So Mark, where can people find you and Purple online?
Yeah, you can always go to our website, purple.com. We are opening up showrooms throughout the country, so feel free to come and try out our new product and test out our new our personal patent technology. It definitely is more comfortable and enjoyable. So we're all stressed. We want to sit more comfortably. We want to sleep more comfortably during COVID. So please check us out. Always feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn if you have any HR questions or just want to hear how we're adjusting in times here. Feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn at any time as well. So
great. I'm definitely a sucker for a great mattress. So whenever you open up that showroom in Philly, I'll be one of the first people there to check it out.
Awesome. Sounds good, Bruce. Well, thanks for letting me join today.
Yes, for sure. And we'll include all of that information in the show notes. So for all of you out there listening, if you enjoyed this episode as much as Mark and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, if this is the very first time you're listening to our show and you're hungry for more, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast platforms. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.